Blog Talk Radio.
People you need to know. It's time for people you need to know. It's time for people you need to know on the radio.
Welcome to People You Need to Know on Spark Plug Radio. I'm your host, Spark Plug, publisher of Atlanta's People You Need to Know magazine, the publication which celebrates women in business by giving them tremendous recognition, unrivaled respect, great opportunities, energetic encouragement, and a stronger brand identity in Metro Atlanta and beyond. In this segment, we're going to be continuing part two of our conversation with Atlanta dermatologist and hair loss and hair growth expert, Dr. Nikki Hill. Our guest today is an Atlanta native by way of a military childhood. She is a graduate of Clark Atlanta University and received her doctorate of medicine from Boston University and did her dermatology training from University of Texas MD Anderson, a fellowship at Emory University, and completed additional training to specialize in hair loss disorder. She is the president of Skin of Culture and Hair Center, a full-service dermatology practice in Atlanta, Georgia, where she focuses on hair loss disorders, hair regrowth treatments, and anti-aging and cosmetic and medical skin health. We are so honored to have on the phone today one of the newest members of the People You Need to Know network of first-class business professionals, Dr. Nikki Hill. Welcome back to Spark Plug Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for having me back.
All right. It's good to have you back. How are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
All right. I know you're extremely busy getting ready for a busy Friday, so I want to go ahead and get right into it, okay?
Okay, absolutely.
All right. Dr. Hill, what are some of the things we do every day that can cause hair loss?
So there are three main things that we can touch on that you may be doing on a day-to-day basis and not realizing could potentially increase your risk for hair loss. The first thing are tight styles, whether they're braids, sew-ins, extensions, clip-ins, locks, updos such as buns. I'm starting to see this in my ballerinas and cheerleaders, and in children, and including man buns. I think there's a general thought that the tighter the style, the longer it will last. Unfortunately, that can lead to other detrimental effects. There's nothing wrong with any of these styles. It's just really the tightness that you're, or the tension you're applying on these hairs. So I always say there's two instances when there's a lot of tension. If the hair is very weak, then you can break that hair, and people may end up with a lot of short broken hairs along their hairline. The second thing that could happen is if that hair is actually very strong and thick and can withstand the tension and not break, unfortunately the weakest point is going to be where that hair is anchored down into the fatty tissue under the scalp. So what can end up happening is that you're tragically pulling that hair out of the scalp, and the scalp is going to see an open wound. So unfortunately, it's going to heal that wound with collagen, which is also called scar tissue, and you're not going to be able to regenerate a follicle in that area, and that leads to traction alopecia. The second thing that I see commonly is when individuals are applying chemicals independently at home. There's nothing wrong with relaxers, Texlaxers, or any other type of processing chemicals, but they should be applied by a licensed professional just to make sure they're applied appropriately. The biggest thing is just making sure the scalp is completely protected. Those chemicals are made for hair. They're not made to be applied to the skin. And unfortunately, a lot of times if you have burning sensations, that's already a sign that those pain receptors are being stimulated. And if that burning sensation is allowed to continue, which means that chemical is contacting the skin for a longer duration of time, you can end up with chemical burns or caustic burns, and that can again lead to the cycle of scar tissue and permanent hair loss. The last thing that I see is going towards supplements and crash diets. And I'm seeing this in my guys and in my girls. Anything that's going to affect hormonal balances or affect your nutritional balance, it can easily throw off the ecosystem of the scalp. And the scalp is very simple. It grows hair or it's easily distracted to where it does not grow hair. So a lot of times if someone does have enter into a crash diet or starts taking particularly the muscle bulking type of supplements, what can happen is they can kick themselves into something called a stress shed or telogen effluvium. And that can actually unmask female pattern or male pattern thinning. So instead of entering into those particular type of hair loss conditions later on in your life, you may be experiencing them earlier because you've kind of triggered that genetic risk by having a stress shed earlier on in your life. So those are just three things that you could be doing on a day-to-day basis that could easily be leading to hair loss.
Wow. Well, Dr. Hill, I'm sure some of our listeners are wondering, are all hair loss conditions reversible?
So there are some that are reversible, and there are some that are not. I always say alopecia is just an umbrella term. It is not a specific diagnosis. It is just a category of multiple conditions. So under the umbrella term alopecia, there's a left branch and a right branch. On the left branch is where I put my potentially irreversible hair loss conditions, and these are usually kind of internal, external stressors that can lead to the stress shed that we just mentioned, a telogen effluvium, sometimes individual person-induced or tragic-induced hair loss conditions, excessive dandruff, or an autoimmune condition called alopecia areata. All of those potential hair loss conditions are potentially irreversible, or excuse me, potentially reversible. On the right branch is where we have potentially irreversible hair loss conditions, and these are the ones that have the true inflammation. And if you listen to my prior post with SparkPlug, you'll hear the nice analogy that we talk about how inflammation in the scalp is very similar to arthritis in a joint. And over time, that arthritis or that inflammation starts to break down the anatomy, change the structure of that joint and the function of that joint, and start to lead to pain, irritation, swelling, and eventually scar tissue. And that same concept can happen in the scalp. And once you have scar tissue in that area, unfortunately, it does not respect anatomy. It replaces whatever was formerly there. And so if there are follicles that are replaced by scar tissue, then that can be potentially irreversible. So it's very important to catch those inflammatory scalp conditions early on. I always say time is follicles. And so those are the ones that are not reversible once they are further progressed.
All right. Well, if you're just tuning in, we're continuing part two of our conversation with Atlanta dermatologist and hair loss and hair growth expert, Dr. Nikki Hill. Let's talk about injections. Injections make your hair grow. Why is this such a common thought?
Yes. So, unfortunately, there's no evidence that steroids help growth. And we can talk a little bit about that because steroids injections we use for multiple things. We use them for keloid scars to flatten them. We use them in acne bumps to calm down the inflammation that's occurring there. And there's never been any instances where people's keloids start becoming very hairy or their little acne bumps on their face or their chest that we injected become hairy. So it's not that the steroid injections are growing hair. It's more so that the steroid injections are removing the inflammation in the area and helping to break down collagen and helping to break down anything that would potentially develop scar tissue. So when we're discussing steroid in relation to hair loss, it works really well in certain conditions, not every hair loss condition, but certain ones. In particular, autoimmune type of conditions, alopecia areata, if there's a small focal patch, that is one of many treatments. And then individuals who have traction alopecia, which we touched on in the beginning of the interview, traction alopecia, if you are able to catch it very early, right at the moment that you're experiencing traction alopecia, right when the body is trying to develop inflammation that will turn into collagen and turn into scar tissue, you want to interfere at that moment. So we kind of talked about how scalp is very fickle. It grows hair or there's distractors. The steroid injection will just remove the distractors, remove the inflammation. That way there's no scar tissue development and the scalp can go back to doing its basic function, which is grow hair. So in essence, the steroids do not work if there's already scar tissue there. They will not grow hair if there's no hair there or no viable follicles. And it will not grow hair if there's nothing wrong with the scalp. In fact, if there's no inflammation and we're doing steroid injections, then you're at a higher risk of developing side effects, including lightening of the skin in that area, a divot in that area where the scalp sinks in, or stretch marks, and no one ever wanted stretch marks on their scalp. So it's a very sensitive subject, and you really have to make sure the individual is the right candidate for steroid injections, and you're not just blindly injecting someone just because they're requesting it at that moment.
Well, let's change gears here from steroid injections to what is stem cell therapy, and who is the candidate for this procedure?
Yes, so stem cell therapy is a different type of injection. So this is stem cell injection also, or stem cell therapy also known as platelet-rich plasma, or PRP. This is where we're using your own derived stem cells or platelets, and we're injecting them into the scalp to potentially grow hair. So unlike steroids, PRP can thicken hair and potentially increase hair growth. So I always explain stem cell as the way they work is if you had a cut or a wound on the skin, you're depending on those platelets to actually go to that site and, one, clot off blood vessels, but two, develop into certain cells that are needed in that area. So the blood vessels, the collagen, the epidermis, which is the top layer of the skin, those platelets will regenerate all those particular cells. So what we do is collect your blood through a routine blood draw. We spin everything down and pull out just the platelets and concentrate them. And then we're able to inject them into areas that we need more, either collagen building or we need more stem cell development. So for hair loss, we'll inject them in the scalp, and that can actually go to what I call an arbitrary bucket that's at the bottom of every follicle called the dermal papilla cells. So these cells over time, you may not make as many of them or regenerate them. So over time, they'll get smaller and smaller, which makes a finer, thinner hair. So we can actually fill that bucket up with the stem cells, and so that way you're able to grow a thicker hair and have more density and more volume. However, with the bucket, there are other factors, and they can cause a hole in the bottom of the bucket. So a lot of times when we do have candidates who have individuals who are interested in PRP or stem cell therapy, we have to assess and make sure there's no internal, external, or metabolic concerns that could potentially be leading to a larger hole in the bottom of the bucket. So I usually have a very comprehensive approach for individuals to make sure that they're going to be a good candidate. The best results have been with those who have a typical male pattern or female pattern thinning. Individuals who typically have inflammation, we usually have to get their inflammation under control, just for a concern that a lot of trauma may actually stimulate more inflammation in their scalp at that moment if they have an ongoing untreated inflammatory scalp condition.
All right. Well, Dr. Hill, we've talked about a lot of things today. So for the listeners out there, let's get right down to the nitty-gritty. When should someone see a dermatologist about hair loss?
So you should definitely see a dermatologist that specializes in hair loss disorders. When you're starting to notice either focal breakage of your hair, and this can be in the hairline or this can be just on the crown scalp with no other areas that are involved. If you start to see patchy hair loss that looks like a little dime size or quarter size of very smooth skin and absolutely no hair in that area. If you're ever experiencing tenderness of the scalp, acne-like bumps on the scalp, any pain or crusting or scabbing on the scalp, and then if you're just starting to notice some thinning of the hair, if you know you have a strong family history of thinning, whether it's in the male, your father, your mother, or even in your siblings, sometimes the first initial hair thinning is when you should kind of intervene at that moment. And then lastly, just excessive dandruff. If you're trying to treat excessive dandruff at home with over-the-counter treatments, or even when you do have a treatment at salon, you feel like you're already having dandruff after the next 1 to 3 days of shampooing, then there may be something else going on medically that we need to address. So those are just some of the red flags that may be early signs of hair loss or hair changes that should be addressed by a dermatologist that specializes in hair loss conditions.
Well, Dr. Hill, do you have any final thoughts about today's subject that you would like to share with our listening audience?
It's really just being in tune with your body and your hair. I always say your scalp is your skin. It should feel exactly the same. So if you had a rash on your skin or any kind of bumps or any kind of irritation, you would want to try to address it early on. And the same thing with the scalp. There's no such thing as, you know, oh, my scalp is always itchy or I just have dandruff. There's likely something else going on, and you should want to get to the bottom of it to make sure that there's no inflammation in particular, because, again, time is follicle, so you want to be aware.
Now, you mentioned dandruff about three or four times.
Yes.
Tell our listeners very briefly, what are some of the danger signs that dandruff may be trying to, you know, scream out to you?
Absolutely. So there's different types of dandruff. Dandruff is just essentially flaking of the scalp, and there are different conditions that can lead to the end result of flaky scalp. So a lot of times, dandruff run-of-the-mill, if it's very light and you use some of the over-the-counter treatments and it resolves, that's just run-of-the-mill, either dry scalp or you're having a natural yeast that's very, very light on the scalp and overgrowing, and you're developing a little bit of an allergic reaction and it's resolved. However, if there are other instances where dandruff can be a little bit more of a red flag that something else is going on. If you have very thick dandruff that just will not be removed even with regular shampoo and conditioning, if you have a almost essentially like a thick scale that's covering the scalp where you cannot actually get to the skin itself, and you have a lot of silver white scales, if you pick them, they start to bleed very easily, or if you feel the sensation of tightness on the scalp, then that's telling us that we may be looking at other things like really severe allergic reactions, psoriasis, really bad eczema, or other conditions that can lead to the development of very thick skin and flaky scalp.
Okay. All right. Well, before we bring this interview to a close, what do you think about, tell our listeners, what do you think about the work that People You Need to Know magazine is doing to shine a brighter spotlight on women in business?
I think the People You Need to Know magazine is doing fantastic work in the community. I'm just letting individuals know that, you know, who is in their community doing particular work. It's so hard sometimes to be able to find someone in a particular field and not really know that much about them, and to really depend on them and trust them with whatever expertise or work that you need them to do. And I think the People You Need to Know magazine really lays out a very nice platform for you to not only know who is doing, who is working in which field, but also a little bit about their background so you can feel a little bit more knowledgeable who they are as a person, because it's very important to make sure you trust that individual on not just a professional basis, but just on a personal basis as well. And so it allows that personable side of individuals to shine through and women in business to shine through. And so they're doing fantastic work.
Well, thank you so much. And finally, how can our listeners connect with you?
So if our listeners would like to speak with us, they can always, or make an appointment, they can always give us a call at 404-474-2301, or they can connect with us through our website at www.socacenter.com, and that's SOCAHcenter.com. And, of course, they can connect with us through social media, through the website.
Give out their phone number one more time, Dr. Hill.
Absolutely. Our phone number, again, is 404-474-2301.
All right. Dr. Nikki Hill, president of Skin of Culture and Hair Center, a full-service dermatology practice located in Atlanta, Georgia. Thanks for spending some of your most valuable and precious time with us today.
Absolutely. Thank you again for having me on today.
All right. You've been listening to Spark Plug Radio, the radio station that shines the spotlight on Metro Atlanta women in business. To listen to even more People You Need to Know, just Google Spark Plug Radio or visit our website at sparkplugpeople.com, and be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at PYNTK. If you'd like for me to speak at your conference meeting or for your women's group, please email your request to sparkplugpeople@gmail.com. I want to take a moment to thank our executive producer and my wife, Ms. Jacqueline Benjamin Thomas, for doing another phenomenal job behind the scenes. Thanks again for tuning in, and be sure to tell your friends, be sure to tell your friends about Spark Plug Radio. So until next time, this is Spark Plug, America's ambassador for women business owners, reminding you that you are the person who has to decide whether you do it or toss it aside. You are the person who makes up your mind, whether you lead or linger behind, whether you try for a goal that is far or be content to stay where you are. Take it or leave it. There's something to do. Just think it over. It's all up to you.